Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Life. My name is Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And I would be totally and absolutely remiss if I didn't first wish all of the mothers and all of the women happy Mother's Day. Whether you're the mother of a child or just a woman, period, you're a mother. And I wish you the foremost, happiest Mother's Day that is possible on this earth. And certainly you, like many others of us, are grateful that we are even alive in the era of President Trump and the COVID-19. I don't say this lightheartedly, but I say this with a full throttle support for what I've just said. Very, very trying times. And I would like to take this opportunity again to wish the mothers a happy Mother's Day, and particularly the mothers who have lost children, including the mother of Mr. Aubrey, the African-American brother, Ahmad Aubrey of Brunswick, Georgia, who was killed 2 months ago. And that's been brought to our attention. And I thank God for the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, for bringing this very, very nasty white supremacy act, in my opinion. I'm not a judge of fact, and I'm not here to be a lawyer. But in my opinion, a grave injustice. And we pray that the law take its course. At the same time, I have to offer sympathy to the mother of a young African-American that was killed about a block away from where I live, city councilman, and basically where my ministry is. Though we have a worldwide ministry, and our concerns start basically from Rio de Janeiro throughout the Caribbean, all the way to Halifax, Nova Scotia. That's our focus. People who speak Spanish, people who speak English, those who are descendants of slavery in the Western Hemisphere. But our program is recovery program, to recover the original soul that Almighty God created in each and every human being. Each of us having a natural propensity to be educated, to be wealthy, to be refined, to be in order. And if we notice, I have just mentioned something that's in the Bible, as also in the Quran, these four portions that we have been given, that is to say, a mind to be educated, or a body to be fed, a material body, a cultural life and an environment. Each of us come into the world as a soul. If we are put in an environment in America, we become American. If we put in an environment to be in the Dominican Republic, we're going to be informed. But what we all have in common in this Western Hemisphere, both the audience, my target audience, is that we have undergone some of the worst oppression known to the human being. And therefore, we have to address how to live here on earth. Nawati Muhammad, son of the Ambulaj Muhammad, the great social reformer, has a theme that he called the sacred life connection. the sacred mic connection. And I want you all to right now repeat after me. I have a sacred mic connection. And I want you, when you finish this broadcast, look yourself in the mirror. Whatever your name is, Alfred, John, Bill, Maria, whatever your name may be, Hassan, I have a sacred life connection. Sacred. And then this means that we would have a sacred regard for our physical body. One of the things we now know about COVID-19 is its predisposition to those who have metabolic diseases. Metabolic means the metabolism of the system striking very different hard right at present. Those who have diabetes, hypertension, and other diseases of the endocrine system. So we want you to see your body as a sacred vessel that is alone from Almighty God and used here on the earth to optimize your life. And if you see it as sacred, and that is given to you by God, and that we will answer to God for the use of that body, and that we have optimized. Optimizing means not just the maximum, with much exertion. The highest form of sacred. The maximum form. Sacred. And if this is placed in our neighborhood or primary where we primarily live, the killings began to go down, and it would be so sacredly regarded that people who attempt to break that sacredness would find themselves in a terrible, terrible situation. As that Caucasian man in Florida found himself when he shot and killed a young man to turn the music up louder so he would be given the authority to be the law. He's now serving a long prison sentence. But I'm not going to allow people in our community to escape, as we witness in Jersey City, New Jersey. Absolutely chaos, mayhem, that we were told as citizens to wear a mask. And so we are discussing today COVID-19 in the age of President Trump. Notice I didn't call him Trump. President. Authority has to be respected, whether that authority be governmental or parental authority. Well, in fact, parental authority is a very, 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 very extraordinary sacred life connection. And it's a condition for getting the blessings of Ramadan. Now, I'm going to speak briefly to Ramadan, but I'm going to relate it to the communities in which we are addressing. The first 10 days of Ramadan, the fasting that is prescribed for Muslims, following the prescription that God has prescribed for all people, fasting. Christians have just come off a 40-day fast, those who are practicing Christians, which was prescribed for them. The Jews have come off a fast. God has prescribed fasting before and now. And the Quran is prescribed during the month of Ramadan. In the first 10 days, is the 10 days of mercy. Mercy. Shouldn't we first extend mercy to our sinful body? Shouldn't we be kind and treat our physical bodies with mercy by giving it the sufficient amount of water? Psalm said we need about 10 glasses of water a day, the best water. Putting at least 90% of our bodies of a plant-based diet. People who basically have a plant-based diet generally don't have these metabolic diseases. I don't advocate vegetarianism. I am a Muslim. You're ordered to eat meat. So I can't advocate something that God tells us not to advocate. But we know from a health point of view that a basic diet, plant-based, that is without animal products, is the most healthiest diet, combined with a half hour walk in a day and good water. Probably you won't even need a doctor. Not here, physician, we're not advocating that. But as a religious leader, we are obligated first to take care of the mind, the body, and the soul. Not just one assignment. The Ramadan is where for the daylight hours, we are to abstain to gain control from that which is natural food. We learn to teach the appetites, no water, no food, no sex. 1/3 of us is an animal. 1/3, the human being is no different than an animal. It craves sex. It craves food. It craves water. These are absolute necessities for the human being. But out of control, they can cause mass killing, mass death, and mass predisposition to death. So in the daylight hours, we discipline, we control it. At a mercy, not as a punishment. We're not trying to be yogi. We're not trying to eschew or ignore the physical body, but to be kind to our physical body. It teaches us to have restraint. I was talking to a brother way up in age, would never think he's this age, because he eats one meal a day. And actually, he walked 5 miles, run 5 miles, a week. And you would think he's probably in his late 50s, maybe 60s, but he certainly doesn't look the same. And he's been following that diet for as long as I can remember. I wish I had to strengthen just the discipline to follow such a diet. But certainly, we are urging our population to eat fresh, green vegetables. Religion means a lot. Jesus the Christ said he came to bring you life and life more abundantly. There's a chapter in the Quran that is called the abundance. For the purpose of this broadcast, we don't have put a lot of Arabic in our broadcast. We don't put any in it because we are communicating my own perception of our religion, about Islam, and my teacher, Imam Waqi Muhammad. And I'm talking to a general public. This is not a broadcast for Muslims. It's a broadcast for humanity with a particularized spin or flavor towards African people in the diaspora, in the Western Hemisphere. So we're applying that to time and circumstances. healthy, maintaining of the physical body is nursing. Actual control of emotions and feelings, so there's not stress on the body. It's another factor they have found, that people that get into COVID are predisposed to stress. And life is stressful. The great religious psychiatrist M. Scott Peck has written that life is difficult. We can never think that life is not difficult. To accept that life is difficult. One of the richest and most successful men here in America, Warren Buffett, in his 90s, but late 80s, he's talking about stress. Life is stressful, difficult. One has to have a higher and the highest purpose for man is to be for the human being, the mind, the human mind. When we say human, the man, we're not talking about physical man. We talk about the human being is a mind, not an animal. Evolved out of animal urges, but is a mental being. You can't see the human being. It's internal. You can see the outer influence, but that doesn't tell us very much. I mean, you can look at a person pretty much and read them. So, guy, you read them like a book. Well, but what's inside is what counts. King, the Bible says, greater is he is in you than is in the world. So the world of business and advertising will invite you to eat French fries and fried shrimp and everything else. And they are prepared also to sell you a casket so you can go to the grave. So we have to take charge of our own physical bodies and rule them, as Scripture says, and a government should be on your shoulder. The Scripture is telling us that we have to be a governor of our own appetites, our own feelings. We have to tell ourselves how to feel. We have to eschew anger. Take a breath. Walk. And psychiatry / psychoanalysis tell us that the feelings of anger, which Muhammad the Prophet told us, don't be angry. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. Or the first part of anger affects the physical body. The second part of anger affects the mind. Your thinking, the cognitive process is slowed down and impeded. By anger. The third part of anger, don't be angry, is the spirit. Your ability to be connected to the world above you is impeded by anger. And we're especially told not to be angry during Ramadan. And we invite our friends, Christians or Jewish people or any other people, to try Ramadan. Don't eat. Don't drink. Most of all, don't consume the mental deteriorating foods during the whole 30 days. Envy, jealousy, rage, hatred. These are things that just take us out of our human form. It blocks creativity. It blocks joy. It blocks ecstatic feelings that we should have in us. So that first 10 days of Ramadan, We want to focus our attention on the mercy. We're past it. We're moving into the second phase. And that second phase is forgiveness. What is the forgiveness all about? Forgive yourself. There's so many people today walking around with burdens. I was molested. I was abused. I had a horrible childhood. The first person to forgive is yourself. You are not responsible. Tell yourself, Alice, Muhammad, John, Sally, whatever your name is, I am not guilty. I am not guilty. Firstly, we told you to tell yourself, I am sacred. Look yourself in the mirror and say, I am sacred. Then say, I forgive you. I forgive you. People are walking around guilt-ridden for things that has happened to them. Maybe for even things that is happening to them. Some are walking around angered, gnawing harder on themselves because they didn't think they had the physical features they would have liked to have. Maybe not the voice they would like to have. Now, how is this to be applied socially? If you think of yourself that way, you're going to project it on others. We have launched the ministry that's a part of this ministry, the Urban Peace Ministry. And God willing, you'll be hearing more and more of us speaking of this as we launch this, and it will be an incorporated ministry, tax-exempt status, God willing, by perhaps the end of next month, where you can donate. And we are interested in coming and visiting various cities. You can write me, ma'amalfred@gmail.com. And if you have 10 to 15 more people, we'll even host a program in your home or in your neighborhood. I know it's virtual now, but God willing, this is going to, they're going to find a vaccine. They're going to find treatments. In fact, there's an African-American at an African-American medical school called Meharry's Medical College that the New York Times called an obscure medical school. There's nothing obscure about it. Most 70% until 1970 of the African-American physicians, like 60%, large percent, but African-American physicians had gone to Meharry's Medical College. And there is a virologist there who has said 2 weeks ago, he was 2 weeks away from a cure for COVID-19. He had come up with the cure for Zika disease. And again, religion means alive is going to be pushing the idea of support for these institutions like Meharry's, like Morehouse Medical School. And we're actually urging expansion, not closing, types of medical schools. And we will be urging our men to enter into that profession so they can earn a good living. Take care of our families, maybe our families. So we're still on the topic of forgiveness. And as we talk about forgiveness and motivation, it's important that to understand psychologically that those who carry the burden of revenge and can't forgive themselves and can't forgive others are also blocked. God says in the Quran, it would be better if you forgive. In the Bible, it's so, vengeance is mine. To spend time on vengeance to spend time on anger, to spend time on deciding to punish others, is something that works against the human spirit for growth. Say to yourself, those of you who are angry, I forgive you. That doesn't mean you are to forget. I believe it was George Santayana said, those who forget are doomed to repeat. So I never want to forget slavery. I never want to forget any of that. I'm never going to forget it. I don't spend my time meditating on it. I spend my time collecting myself, and I spend my time focusing my attention that people can use the behavior, the mass killings that take place in our own community as a justification for knocking us off a position of civilization and justifying in our minds, in our spirit, and other spirit to kill us. This is a fact. This is how a religious leader, not what you have as religious leaders. Today they just tell you entertaining things. They play on your emotions, tell you to blame others. But there was a wise man that lived in America and passed in 1975. His name was Mr. Elijah Muhammad, and he put a tremendous amount of his speech, his last public speech. You would have thought he was Dr. King. Of course, if you listen to Dr. King's speech, you might have thought he was Mr. Muhammad. But the speech centered on us, stop blaming others. And I'm registering with us. I'm not telling you to forgive. I'm telling you to forgive what has happened to you, but not to forget. Don't get caught up in emotions and get caught up in a dyad. But be responsible and examine ourselves, how we treat each other in our homes, how we treat each other in our neighborhood, and make our neighborhood such models, make our home such models, so much so that the scriptures say our home, and today we have to have good homes, right? Because we're not to be out socialized, or it should minimize our socialization. So our homes have to be a citadel of peace and tranquility, order, and tremendous amounts of forgiveness to each other and our families. And I think the hardest thing for African-American people, we love each other. You go to any convention, you go to a fraternity meeting, you go to a sorority meeting, you go to a group in a mosque, we're the last people to leave. And we just want to be with each other, go to church. We don't believe each other. So that shows that we want to be together. But we get caught up in very, very small, petty things. And that violence takes place, anger, harsh words. Destructive utterance. You know, someone asked me, they said, what should be the message to African-American people? And should that message be different for African-American middle class? Should that message be different for the African-American people who are struggling? And I said, no. Before we can get into real appreciation of religion as it is, we first have to, and this is religion. That's what religion means alive, is bring it alive in our lives. Is that we have to address the psychological, socio-psychological state by our feelings and this great burden of revenge caused our internal death rate to be very high. Really worried about what will happen in our neighborhoods during the summer months. Memorial Day weekend last year, 500 people was shot. Over 1,000 incidents were recorded. Shooting, 300 and 400 deaths. So we started off this program talking about the sacred life connection. We're telling ourselves we're sacred. And we want to preach that message until our people have converted to that state. They will require massive policing with people coming in our neighborhood who are terrified of us because what they read and what they've experienced and their own extraordinary fear and many times coupled with xenophobia and coupled in many cases with absolute white supremacy feelings. But if your neighborhood is peaceful and we police our own neighborhoods, then we wouldn't have to invite others to come in who don't care about us. Regardless, I don't care. The African-American policemen, we can be very brutal as well. I've observed them. I've had no personal encounters with police except in one city I lived in that I saw very callous. But I've been in many cities. And this is something we have to address for our men in particular. We have to address something that social workers and psychologists and clinical people know that we suffer from as a people called intermittent explosive disorders. I could give you examples of that to show you how we just explode. Somebody took a piece of corn off the plate. Ready to kill somebody. That happens often. And it's the duty of religious leaders like Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mazie, Imam Waruddin Muhammad, Dr. King. We listened to his last speech at Mount Zion Baptist Church. A knock at midnight. He talked about midnight in the psychological order. And that's our job as religious people to address these very serious psychological problems and to address them especially during Ramadan, because this is the time, 30 days, the psychologists now know that it takes about 30 days to break habits. Some of you all may have habits of overeating. You've got 30 days to break those habits. Those habits, marijuana, intoxicants, and sexual addictions, and pornography, and other issues that many of us are facing. Just because you're a religious person doesn't mean that you won't face them and battle with them. Life is a continuous battlefield that we have to continue the effort of battling to be human. Before those people in the rainforest of Brazil were disturbed, anthropologists visited them, and they were very, very peaceful, but now they have been disturbed. What we call primitive people, people who are indigenous. They weren't always warlike. I mean, there's a group off of the coast of India. And no one has been able to ever enter the country. If you come out there, you're going to be killed. a missionary came. He thought he was, I don't know what he thought, but he went there and he went to that island. He didn't get there. And the man gave him a signal, if you come here, you will be dead. He ended up getting a boat and he was killed. But those people are not always like that. That's, we know that from anthropology. The nature of a human being is peaceful, just like the nature of the baby comes into the world innocent, peaceful. That baby has to learn violence, have to learn anger. What seems like anger for the child is a cover because he can't verbalize himself. Well, he or she can't verbalize himself. So the verbalization process makes us human. We express, no, I'm hungry. I need water. And that's why there's so much violence in our neighborhoods, because we can't express ourselves. And when we create an environment, a therapeutic environment, where we listen to each other and encourage each other and not be defensive. Someone telling you to pull your socks up, they're coming down. They're not here to hurt you. Someone tells you, a parent tells a child, this is the time allotted for study. Put the phones down. That parent is not trying to hurt that child. That's an act of love. But in this age of narcissism and nihilism, what appears to be, what is help, appears as an attack. And during the sacred month of Ramadan, one of the lessons we can learn is to internalize and listen. You study Joseph in the Bible or Yusuf in the Quran. Peace be on, prayers and peace be upon these great, the great prophet. When he was accused by his master's wife of rape, he didn't. His reaction was, he asked for forgiveness. And he said, the human soul is prone to error. So that's a message to the oppressed. Is that examine yourself. Be willing to be open, to learn. Don't get angry as a child that your parents say you to study or maybe speak up or whatever your parent may tell you. Take it with love and take it with gratitude. Now, people today in their 80s wish their parents had corrected them. Now, people that today are in federal, state prisons wish somebody had disciplined them, wish somebody had told them. So during Ramadan, this is directly related to Ramadan. It said the Ramadan fast is not even accepted from a disobedient, disrespectful child. This is Mother's Day. We have to see the mother, which represents the society, as sacred. And again, we have to see each other as sacred, but first we have to see ourselves as sacred. And if we see ourselves as sacred and forgive ourselves and forgive others, I think we will go a long way to having the kind of institutional life that's reflective of our internal life. I'm going to speak just a few minutes on some of the things I think we need done. Nawardeen Muhammad, the great Muslim American spokesman for human salvation, in 1970 created a committee called the SICK Committee, And I think it's now time for us nationwide to think about expanding that committee. We should be thinking seriously about urgent care centers, smaller hospitals. Isn't it amazing that they closed up hospitals, now they had to reopen them? But maybe we need to look at smaller hospitals. Howard University lost its hospital. It's still Howard University Hospital. But the Seventh-day Adventists, a small religious group, probably no more than 4 million. Little Richard was a member of that church. God bless Little Richard. I once saw him coming I was at a Muslim convention. I was checking out, and Little Richard was, we were checking in, and Little Richard was checking out. And I didn't call him Little Richard. That's his stage name, called Reverend Richard Pendleton. He was a Seventh-day Adventist. But the Seventh-day Adventists have maintained hospitals throughout the United States, even a medical school. So that should be a message to Muslim Americans, African Americans in particular. There's enough of us in this country to have a system of medical school, a system of hospitals and nursing homes. We have $2 trillion coming into our hands, the African American does. And approximately, I'm sure the African Americans are about 20%, Muslim African Americans are 20%. That's $400 billion. And we should demand of our leaders that they stay on these cases, particularly addressing health. There's a need now for at least 200,000 physicians, about 1 million nurses. Let us make a campaign and meet and talk. This is what Religion Means Alive is about. If we have to open up medical schools in the Dominican Republic, if we have to open up medical schools in the Caribbean, Guyana and Suriname and other places, and train our people, if we want to go and make demands on the bigger society, let's make demands that the American Medical Association open up doors where demand, we don't want a gift, that we can open up more medical schools, colleges of podiatry, colleges of optometry, nursing schools. Imagine what would change our very image in America. You walked around, you couldn't go into a neighborhood without finding an African American doctor. Now you go in a neighborhood, you can't even find an African American doctor. And let me tell you something, a doctor that's from your own ethnic group means a whole lot. Because many doctors are trained in medical school. I know this to be a fact, that they are told that African Americans are not responsive to medical. And many of us are. It's a fact. We're not compliant. So we're told not to have salt in our diet. And some of us are still persist. There's a great oncologist said one of the major culprits of cancer among African Americans was the use of salt. I was with a physician friend, and he gave me a tomato. And my habit has been, growing up in the South, I love tomatoes. I like to put salt on them. To put that down. I didn't get angry with him. I didn't feel him taking control. I didn't get defensive. I didn't want to cuss him out. I said, that was an act of love. Because the Prophet Muhammad, he said, help your brother. He said, how can you help your brother when he's wrong? See, probably restraining him from doing wrong. So this brother grabbed the tomato, put the salt shaker down. I saw a physician happened to be in a restaurant and saw one of her patients in the restaurant eating cookies. And the patient was a high-risk patient, she snatched the cookies out of her hand. That was an act of love. We have to get the strength to encourage and push each other to the better life, to a healthy life. can't be happy. You're miserable, physically in bad shape. And physically unhealthy people are predisposed to violence. So we ask you to join us, and religion means alive, to help us spread this message. We believe that we can get 10 good years of reaching more and more ears of our people. We can change the psyche, change the culture from a culture of what Pope John Paul II called a culture of death, culture of life. Yes, we can have life and life more abundantly. First, repeating that mantra, my life is sacred. Telling yourself you forgive yourself. Things like this, these mantras will help us. I want to now bring to your attention, excuse me a moment. We will be having the Mosque Cares Ministry, Imam W.D. Muhammad, presents the 23rd annual Ramadan session. And that session will be Ramadan Purifies the Soul, the Mind, and Spirit. Featured presenters Friday, May 15th. There will be various speakers on Sunday. I will be a speaker at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, I think it's Eastern Standard Time. Oh, 11:30 Central Standard Time. We're going to present it via. Probably will present it during the Religion Needs a Lot. I'll be back on the air. We appreciate your support, and we'd like to say if you would like to send us a donation, PayPal. Imam Alfred at gmail.com, send a donation to us. I will send you one of my CDs. For a donation of $10 or more, I will send you a CD. Tell people about our ministry. Religion Means Alive will be on every Sunday, and we will be on Jummah time, inshallah. We'll have someone to substitute for us. We'll be doing Jummah online. Probably Facebook Live. It definitely will be on Religion Means Alive. Friday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Those who are in the Caribbean, you can hear us. And we're really working to build a virtual community. Probably in August we will have, beginning of August, we will start a class called Arabic and Islamic studies and compare to religion. Teach people Arabic. We will use Zoom and probably Skype and some other methods to reach the public. We're here to build a virtual community, a supportive community, where we who support the leadership of a revived Al-Islam in America, in the West, that I believe a new, fresh, renewed Muslim will renew our communities, and they also would then renew America and renew Al-Islam throughout the world with a fresh understanding that it was an inheritance of Joseph, that Joseph would get a new interpretation. And I'm going to just break one of our rules today and tell you that in Arabic that word is ta'wil, but it really means interpretation, a fresh new understanding. And we're hoping that we're giving you a fresh understanding of religion, period. And religion is not about just what's going on in the next life. Religion is about what's going on in the world. How to live on earth. In our religion, Islam, it is said you're not even allowed to bring the body of the dead in the mosque. The mosque is for the living. What does that tell us? That tells us that the mosque, the masjid, is for the living. It's to teach us how to live. And the call to devotional practices in Islam is come alive to Scripture. It says come alive to Salat. Yes, I know that. But what is Salat? It's a recitation of the Word of God. That's how you come alive. The instructions that God put in the Quran is telling us how to do what? Not how to die, but how to live. It's sacred life. Direct. We don't direct our lives by impulse, by feelings. If we do that, then we ask God to forgive us. But we are to direct our lives how God places it in the sacred book, the Quran. It tells us how to live. It tells us how to be educated. It tells us how to earn wealth to live here on earth, how to be refined, how to govern our lives, family, community life. All is contained in the book called Quran. God tells us to come alive to that. Only a few times death is mentioned, and it then tells us to die to ourselves. That's the death. Die so you can live. Die to violence. Die to ignorance. Die to chaos. And come alive to life, to educational life. The four rivers, we talked earlier, alluded to it. Four rivers went out from the garden in the Bible, it says, became great heads. What are those four rivers? Education, business, culture, and government. And we turn the five senses five times a day towards the sacred house. What do you have in a house? Eat in the house. You're educated firstly in the house. Your culture is in the house. Your government, the first government, daddy, mom and children. And that's in the Muslim life. If you got three people in the house, you have Jama'ah. Other religions have other requirements. Some religions say it's three or more. Yeah, that's like the Bible says that. Three or more gather in my name, I will be there also. So Scripture is about community life. In fact, all scriptures, every religion, the heavenly religion, is telling you how to live life. Nothing in it is talking to you about how to die. That's a natural process. There are a lot of walking dead people in our neighborhoods, are dead to human life. Our work is to bring them alive, to give them the life. And then God tells us through the rituals, the call to devotional practices, and come alive to cultivation. In other words, subdue anger, subdue pain, subdue those things. Cultivate like a garden. In fact, the Arabic word is life is seen as a garden. Weeds are growing in a garden. Pests will grow in a garden. If you look at your life, think about that. So we invite you, those who, next week, the weekend, you can get the Ramadan session. You can go to Ramadan session at SBC Global Net and go to WDM Publication, WDM Ministries, and register, and it will be you will be able to see 3 days of great speakers, great thinkers, who are the product of the community of Imam Wardeen Muhammad, discussing religion. I am the last speaker on Sunday, and I have a message for you. I will be addressing the theme Yes. Ramadan purifies the soul, the mind, and spirit. We want to purify the mind. First, if we purify the mind, just allude to it, the soul will be okay, and the spirit will be okay. But the first, before we get to the spirit, the emotions have to be clear. You have to push out anger. You have to push out revenge. Huh? These are emotions that blocks the mind for free flow of creation. That should be replaced by love of God, love of people, the love of the model human person, Muhammad the prophet, the model. And the other prophets are also models for those communities, but those who are Muslim. But I would invite those who are non-Muslim to study Muhammad the prophet. And we will be have offerings of books to give you about his life because he's the model. He tells us how to live as a husband, how to live as a business person, how to live in all aspects of our lives. So with this, we are going to close our broadcast out and say to you, thank you. We will see you again on next week. If you'd like to join us at the Ramadan session, you can certainly do that. But we most certainly will have you on our rate. Of course, that's pay $100 for that presentation 3 days, if you can afford it. It goes to the work of the Mosque Cares, an international charity that continues the work of Imam Waqif Muhammad. But I'll be back at 3 o'clock. Y'all going to work me hard Sunday. And I'll see you next week. If you'd like to make any comments, you can write to me, imamalfred@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your comments. And we thank you so much. God's peace and God's mercy be upon you. Thank our honorable and noble listening audience. You listen again. The religion means alive.